Good morning. Imagine if some of you saw the church email this week and saw Lloyd's name down as speaking. You might have been wondering, what prop is he going to bring today? But I've been speaking on a primary camp this week. I'm all propped out. I'm sorry. Today you just get me. And I'm not sure what your week has been like, but I would love to tell you about my week. On Thursday, I was traipsing through a rainforest in the rain. With a group of kids, we were searching for a hidden key that would unlock the treasure chest back at camp, and they were having the time of their lives. I have never seen a group of kids so engaged in what was essentially a nature walk. Later, as I drove the minibus back to camp, they asked if they could have some music on. So we put a worship song on. And as I drove around this country road bend, that the clouds parted, the sun shone down, and the soundtrack was a bus full of kids singing of the goodness of God. And I thought to myself, this only happens in the movies. How is this real life? It was one of those moments that I was able to step back in the moment and just treasure it for what it was. And today I want to talk to you about moments, about God moments, about times when heaven comes down to earth. And we're going to start with a man named Nicodemus. I'm reading from John chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." I've paused there because you probably know the next verse is probably the most famous verse in the world today, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The whole reason we have this Bible verse is this conversation with Nicodemus. It's John's footnote summary of that conversation. But imagine for a moment being Nicodemus. You didn't just get that John 3:16 summary. You got the whole conversation directly from the mouth of Jesus. And Nicodemus heard this, and then nothing happened. He went back to his old life. We actually know this because a few chapters later in John, he is named amongst a group of Pharisees discussing Jesus. That's a very interesting exchange. Could have its own complete sermon. But I'd like us to leave Nicodemus there for a moment. Of course, when the Bible was written, it was not written with chapters and verses. They were placed in later so we could more easily navigate the Bible. But when John wrote the gospel, there was no artificial gap between John 3 and John 4. And when you read them in the perspective of two encounters with Jesus, we see two contrasting encounters with Jesus, the one that we've just read for Nicodemus and the one that we read in John 4, which is commonly known, the woman at the well. And when you read them with that perspective, you cannot ignore the contrast, the intentional contrast here. You have Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish elite, meeting with Jesus in secret under the cover of darkness. And then we read something completely contrasting, not under the cover of darkness, but in the middle of the day, not in secret, but in probably the most public place possible, not with a revered Jewish leader, but with an outcast Samaritan woman. And if you read these two encounters side by side, you see that Jesus had the exact same conversation with both of them. The words are slightly different and the analogies are different, but the message is exactly the same. With Nicodemus, it's being born again. With the woman at the well, you have living water. With Nicodemus, it's being born of the Spirit. With the woman at the well, you have worshiping in spirit and truth. For both of them, they have the promise of eternal life. Nicodemus says, "We know that you have come from God." The woman at the well says, "I can tell that you are a prophet." Nicodemus says, "How can this be?" The woman says, "We know the Messiah will explain this to us." And Jesus says, "I am he." John does not provide a footnote summary for this conversation with the woman at the well because he doesn't need to. The woman provides it herself. She runs back into town and tells everyone who will listen, "Could this be the Messiah?" So many people came out to Jesus that they begged him to stay, and he stayed there for 2 more days. And the Bible tells us that many people came to believe. The woman may not be named in the Bible, but what you have is a legacy of living water overflowing to everyone else. Now, let's step back to Nicodemus. If you know your Bible, you'll know that we hear Nicodemus' name mentioned one more time in the book of John, right at the end of the book of John. He is named as one of the two people who asked to be able to prepare Jesus' body for burial after it was taken down from the cross. And I don't know if you can put yourself in Nicodemus' place there. But when I do, there are two words that come to mind. If only. If only. As Nicodemus wrapped the burial cloths around Jesus, I can imagine him saying, "If only I had taken the chance to follow." When the disciples were out on the boat and Jesus came walking towards them on the water, like, "I could have been in that boat." And maybe even like Peter, I could have asked the Lord, "Can I step out onto the water with you?" Or when Jesus had been teaching for hours and hours and the people were hungry and they had no food except for a couple of fish and some loaves of bread, and Jesus called the disciples together and broke that bread and fish into the baskets and gave it to the disciples to feed the people, maybe I could have been holding one of those baskets, and when I saw them come back full of leftovers, maybe that basket could have been in my hand. If only. If only I had walked with Jesus down the road when a blind man called out from the side of the road. Maybe I could have seen with my own eyes the first time a man ever saw with his. And as I walked down that road, maybe I could have been walking side by side with people who were lame and crippled until they met Jesus. And I imagine as he takes that burial cloth and perfume and prepares this body for burial, he thinks maybe when Jesus sent the disciples out 2 by 2 into the towns and the villages and said, "I give you the same authority that is given to me," that I could have seen God work through me in ways I never imagined possible. If only. As they finish wrapping his body ready to go in the tomb, I can't help but thinking of a Nicodemus saying, "If only." If a Samaritan
outcast woman could transform her entire town, how much more could have I done with my influence and my position that might not have me now standing here unclean, preparing a body for burial? You know, it's easy for us to look at Nicodemus, to see a missed opportunity, to see a man who had the gospel explained to him from the very lips of Jesus, but still missed the point. But I think that far too often I give reverence to the crucified Christ, when what we're meant to do, what we're called to do, is be the hands and feet of the resurrected Christ. You see, eternal life is not a reward for following Jesus. It's not some door prize. It's the result of following Jesus. Jesus would say, it's being born again into a spiritual reality. It's having a spring of living water inside of you welling up to eternal life, overflowing that others may drink of it also. You know, John says that if all Jesus said and did was written down, there would not be enough room in the entire world for the books that were written. And that's because the life of the disciples was one of constant expectation, awe, and wonder. What is Jesus going to do today? And if that was the life for the disciples, why should it be any different for us? Seriously, why? If we are also disciples of Jesus, that is the life he calls us to. You know, sometimes I think we get so caught up in theology and what does it mean to be born again and what's free will and predestination and salvation, but Jesus is much more concerned with our reality than with our theology. The life of a disciple revolved around two things: meeting with Jesus and seeing other people meet with Jesus. That's how God moments happen. That's where God moments happen. And if that's not your experience of what it is to be a Christian, a day, like every day, expectant on what God is going to do today, then I would ask you two simple questions. Are you meeting with Jesus? And are you seeing others meet with Jesus? Because I guarantee you, if you volunteer on Winter Shelter, Jesus will show up. If you sign up as a mentor with Kids Hope, you'll have story after story after story of God moments. If you head down to Lardner Park and stand ankle deep in mud serving hot food to freezing teenagers at state youth games, you will be blown away with how simple acts of service build God's kingdom. If you talk to Matt Moran or any of those on the Sharing Hope team, your heart will be broken and filled in the same conversation as you hear of God at work. If you talk to our young adults, and let me tell you, there is a shift at the moment. Conversations that used to be about career and setting themselves up for life are turning into not what can we do, but how can we serve? Internships, mission trips, volunteering. That's what our young adults are revolving their lives around at the moment. I think sometimes we need to develop a healthy case of spiritual FOMO, fear of missing out. It's so easy for us to grow content with hearing stories of how God is moving in other people's lives or other people's ministries, that we fail to realize that that is meant to be our daily reality. This is not a statement of judgment. Please do not hear this as judgment. But if we are not living lives as disciples of Jesus, we are not disciples of Jesus. If we are not living lives as disciples of Jesus, we're not disciples of Jesus. but we can be. All it takes now is all it took back then, meeting with Jesus and seeing other people meet with Jesus. If you want to see the ocean, go to the beach. If you want to see the snow, go to the mountains. If you want to see God at work in your life day after day after day, if you want God moments to stop being God moments and to start to be a God reality in your life, look where God is at work and go there. That's when you'll wake up every day and say, I wonder what God is going to do today. I wonder how God is going to use me, teach me, change me, fill me, pour me out, break me, comfort me. That's when you've lived that type of life of a disciple. And if we stepped into that kind of life of expectation and awe and daily wonder as a disciple of Jesus, I'll tell you what, we'd create some headaches for our pastoral team. They would not have enough volunteer spaces to be filled. Leah would have more musicians than she'd know what to do with. Matt would have to come up with some crazy State Youth Games-esque schedule to just fit everyone in to be able to have a chance to help out with youth on Friday nights. We'd be calling up Kids Hope and saying, we need to expand into another school because they just don't have enough kids for the mentors that we have. Gitter would be stressing about rebranding Winter Shelter because we'd have to extend it into autumn and spring as well. And oh, there'd be some car park congestion with the Karen community because the 10 a.m. service would not be content to finish with a song at the end of the service. We would sing and praise and pray until the Karen congregation came in and kicked us out and said, it's our turn now. And you may think I'm joking or you may think I'm dreaming, but maybe I'm just daring to believe that something is stirring in your heart as it is stirring in mine today. That rather than a regretful, if only, we had a joyful and a hopeful what if. What if we lived as the disciples and in our lives saw moment after moment after moment after moment of God at work? And what if that's what Jesus has been calling us to all along? Not to a God moment here and a God moment there or a God moment years ago, but a God reality. And what if we dared to imagine what that would look like in our lives individually and in our lives as a church? And if you think that is out of reach, then let me share this. I have stood in stadiums with thousands of people singing worship. But there is something I didn't mention about driving that bus before. You see, those kids early that day had been given an invitation, a simple invitation to step into that life that we've been talking about, to be a disciple of Jesus. And I'll tell you what, you could give me a full MCG worth of people singing and it would not compare to that bus trip. Because those same voices I heard singing the praises to God earlier that day, I had heard say yes to Jesus. Before I gave that invitation, I read something out to them that I would like to read out to you now because I wanted them to be sure of the decision that they were making, to know what they were saying yes to. And I call it, if you choose this life. If you choose this life, you will love so much that it hurts. You will weep for the injustice in the world. For when you love with God's love, your heart will break as God's heart breaks. You will find yourself sitting with people at the moments of their deepest sorrow just to give them a glimpse of joy. Your kindness will be taken advantage of and your gentleness will be seen as weakness. You will be asked to forgive more than you ever thought possible, and you better believe that you will learn to sacrifice. A life following Christ is not about what you get, but what you give. And as you grow closer to Jesus, you will grow closer to understanding his suffering. If people try to sell you an easy life following Jesus, that is just a cheap imitation. And you are worth so much more. You are worth everything. You are worth going to the cross. And the more you follow Jesus, the more you are willing to go there yourself. A living sacrifice. This is what it means to live life to the full. The old is dead. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. You know, when I finished reading that, I wondered if any of them would respond. So as I drove down that country road, listening to them sing in the bus, it was I who understood a new living water. It was I who understood being born again. And God spoke to my heart in answer to my question. And said, yes, Lloyd, this is real life. Life to the full. Church, we can stand with burial cloths in hand, giving reverence to the crucified Christ, thinking, if only. Or we can live each day in expectation, awe, and wonder of what Jesus is about to do next. And I know which I choose. I want to give you now the same invitation that I gave to that group of kids. An invitation to say, we want to be disciples of Jesus in awe, expectation, and wonder every day. And as I have been speaking, not through my words today, but through God's stirring in your heart, I believe that there may be some people here who, for the first time, want to turn concepts like born again and living water not into theology, but into reality, who want to step into that life. I think that there's probably some of you here who made that decision maybe many, many years ago. But if you were sitting down and being honest, you'd say, hey, Lloyd, I made that decision. I believe in Jesus. But what you're describing there, where God moments aren't few and far between, but are a daily reality, is not the reality of my life. But I want it to be. Maybe for some of you, you are sitting here and you're like, I understand Nicodemus. Maybe you look back on your life and there were things where you look back and you say, if only I could have done that, I could have done that, if only. And what I would ask you today is don't let the regrets of the past stop you being a disciple of Jesus today or tomorrow. Regrets have no power. Jesus has power. And maybe a fourth group of people I just thought of then, like me, are like, I want people to live this life as well, because that's how I understand being a disciple of Jesus, that I just wish everyone else would understand it that way too. If God has been stirring your heart in any of those ways, I'm going to ask you to do something simple like I asked those kids at camp to do, and that is simply to stand now with me. If that is you, if you want to live as a disciple of Jesus, I would ask you to stand. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. If before, when I was talking about those things that could be possible, you thought it was a dream, a fantasy, I invite you to look around the room. Imagine in a week's time, a month's time, a year's time, the stories of moment after moment after moment of God at work in the lives in and through his disciples. I understand what John meant. There wouldn't be enough space in the world to fill those books. I'm going to pray. God, I am expectant but blown away. I know what you can do, but I'm always amazed and in awe that you choose to do it. God, we want to be your disciples. We don't want to say if only, we want to say what if. Every day when we wake up, we want to say, what is God going to do today? And we want to be amazed at seeing you at work. God, I pray for everybody who is standing at the moment that that can be their reality. Not a God moment here and a God moment there, but a new reality. That we will understand what it means to be born again. It means to see the world in that way. To be filled with living water overflowing in our lives. That we may be a blessing to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love that. FOMO, fear of missing out spiritually. It's a great message. I really want to encourage you that for some of you, you might want to talk to Lloyd. I'm going to encourage Lloyd to hang out the front here a little bit longer. You might want to come up and say, Lord, can you pray for me? Ruth's over here for anyone who would like some prayer. But I really, really want to encourage you to ask the question, how are you meeting with Jesus and how are you helping people meet with Jesus? And then go do it. Get involved. It was a great message for us as a church. It was a challenge to the heart today. To hang around, have a cup of tea, have a coffee, but talk with each other about what that sermon meant to you and what is God doing in your heart. God bless you.